005, Use Your Talents. January the 15th, Grace.
Move into the Word. Grace, would you come and preach, please?
Father, we thank you for your precious Word, without which, Lord, we're going nowhere. And Lord, I just give you praise for how you speak to us individually and corporately. And I just, Lord, say, let this seed fall on good ground today and let it bring forth a mighty harvest in each of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. I've been blessed over the past few weeks thinking about the talents. And it's actually a story about investments, a popular subject at the minute. If you've got money and you're looking at investments, you're probably your chin's on the floor thinking, why have I bothered to put that in a bank at all? And if you put it on the stock market, you might just lose it overnight. You don't know what to do with money at the minute because it's not earning very much. If you're on the other side of it, you might be thinking, well, I don't know how much longer I've got a job. I don't know how much longer this company's going to keep going. Things are hard. People are not buying. The squeeze is on. And really, they are difficult times for many people. But I want to bring you some good news today. And I want to tell you that there's an investment that will never go sour and that will give you the greatest increase, not just in monetary terms, but in life-giving terms as well. And that is investing in the kingdom of God. And this story in the Bible is from Matthew chapter 25. I'm reading from the Message. I'm not quite sure what verse it is, but if somebody with a regular Bible that's got verses in it, it's the second parable, and it's called, in my Bible, The Story About Investment. I'm not sure what verse it starts at. Has anybody got the Bible and can shout it out? Starts at verse 14. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Lynn. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, it starts at. Investing in the kingdom of God, you know, it's always buoyant and it's always stable. Amen? Amen. There's nothing unstable about investing in God's kingdom. You can put your life on it. Amen? Who would invest their lives in somebody's company and know that everything would be good? I wouldn't. There's only God I'll give the investment to. I'm just going to read a few verses. You may be better actually just listening to me because this is quite different from the regular translations. I'm reading from the Message. It's like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and he delegated responsibilities. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another, he gave 2 talents. And to a third, he gave 1 talent. Depending on their abilities. Then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and he doubled his master's investment. The second did the same, but the man with the 1 talent dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. After a long absence, the master of the 3 servants came back and settled up with them. The one with 5 talents showed him how much he'd doubled his investment. His master commended him. Good work, your job you did well. From now on, you'll be my partner. The servant with the 2 talents showed how he also had doubled his master's investment. And his master commended him. Good work, you did your job well. From now on, you will be my partner. I'm going to stop there. These 2 servants, the master commended them when they came back. Now, if you're wondering how much a talent is worth, a talent is worth more than 15 years' wages of a labourer. So 1 talent equals 15 years' wages. Now I looked at what a labourer's wage is, and if it's minimum wage, it's going to be about 12,000 a year. Now multiply that by 15. One talent is 15 years of wages, and he got 5 talents, 75 years worth of wages the man with 5 talents got. And if that's 12,000 a year, so you've got 75 years worth of wages. Now imagine what your salary is. If you've got 75 years of wages just given to you in one go. For some, the temptation would be too much, wouldn't it? For some, it might be gone nearly overnight. Incredible though it may seem, there are some who would do that. But I thank God that this man, these two servants, had watched the master and they'd put into practice what they had learnt from the master. And the master gave them according to their abilities. And he said they were to put into practice what they'd learnt. And I think that is really good. They definitely put into practice what they learnt to come up with that investment. Now, for you, if it was £12,000 per annum and there were 75 years of wages, I work it out, they got the one with 5 talents got £900,000. And when his master came back, he doubled it. He gave him £1,800,000. Wow! He was worth investing in, wasn't he? And he invested that in the kingdom of God. And he doubled what his master gave him. And I'll leave you to work the other one out. The 2 talents. But if we were given, in a sense, we have been given a lot of money. God highly values us. And if we're going to be good stewards, we've got to listen to what the master says. If we're going to bring a big investment, a big return on the master's investment in us, then as wise stewards, we need to have passion and commitment to what he says for us to do. And I just wonder if any of you have any ideas here of the type of thing, not necessarily, we can invest money. And when you invest money in the kingdom of God, it's amazing what you see happen. Pauline and I were laughing the other day. You know, I thank God that Pauline and Ken, when God says when he's got your money, he knows he's got you. And it's absolutely true. If you can give to God generously or, as he says, hilariously, he knows he's got your heart. He knows he's got you for life because your money is where your heart is. And so investing, and I thank God that Pauline and Ken have learnt that principle and invest much into the kingdom of God. But Pauline rang me up yesterday and she said, "Hey, Grace," she said, Louise has been in town and she said, "We've seen a pair of trousers that'll fit you in Marks and Sparks. They're £30 trousers." And she says, "They're on the rail for £9. Do you want them?" So I said, "Yeah, get them for me." And then she rang me yesterday and she says, "Grace, when we got there, that £9, when we got to the till, they'd reduced them to £3. I'm thinking, God, we invest in the kingdom of God. And God says, "I'll dress you well. I'll give you the best for the least." Pauline's had £45 worth of trousers for £6. Hey, does our God show us how to shop good? He really does care. And when you give to God, he'll show you where the bargains are. He'll show you where to invest your money. He'll show you how to get the best value for the least amount of money. Bish used to say to us, he said, you know, when you go out and you're going shopping, he says, "Say to God, 'God, thank you, you're going to give me the best value for the least amount of money today,' and go off and see what God's got for you. Don't just spend your money willy-nilly. Don't just do it off your own back. But first of all, there's a principle we need to do. To be good stewards and to be good investors, we first need to tithe. We must tithe. God says, he wants your rent. It's no good shouting spent. He wants your rent. And your rent is your 10%. And God says, give me, he said, give to me, and will I not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing such as you cannot contain? He says, give, and it will be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. God will take care of you as you first give your tithe. And on top of your tithe, there's offerings. Don't forget the offerings. God loves a cheerful giver. And he says in Malachi, test me. It's the only thing he tells us to test him in. But he's confident, his eye is on you all the time. And you test him and see if he'll work for you, and he will work for you, I promise you. I thank God. You know, Andrew's wanted motorcycles, and he's looked on the internet, and he bought two bikes, and he saw one for our Jonathan. And when he's taken them later to the dealer and told him how much he'd paid for them, the dealer said, you've stolen them from him. And he says, I hadn't. I just gave him a fair price. And his BMW, I think 3 years later, was probably worth what he paid for it. God is interested, you know. We're not to be fools with our money. We're to be wise stewards. And it's not wrong to ask God to bless you and bless the work of your hands. But, you know, it's not all about finance. God tells us to do lots of other things, to invest. He invests in our lives. And he's looking for fruit. Now, what is fruit? I want some ideas now. You can come and write it on here. Intelligence. Now, I think that's a waste of time. Fruit is seed. But what fruit is God looking for in your lives as children of God? You know, as you're growing, and as you're listening to God, as you're reading the word, as you're developing, what's he looking for in your life? What fruit is he looking to see on your tree? Faithfulness, Lynn. What sort of growth? Maturity. Discipline. Maturity. What else is he looking for? Forgiveness. Obedience. Yeah, these are coming faster than Lincoln Wright. Just a sec, hold it. Forgiveness, obedience.
You'll have to excuse me. Spelling.
Obedience. It's brilliant.
Obedience.
Love. Love, patience. The rewards for these two stewards from now on, you will be my partner. Now, God has said that we shall rule and reign with him. So what does one who rules and reigns do? What? I don't think we ever control anybody, Andy. It's not something God's looking for. But in the worldly sense, control is a big issue. But, you know, if you're going to rule and reign, you've got to start ruling and reigning now. And when situations come against you, how are you going to overcome? Where does your wisdom come from? From God. And where... The Bible, the word of God is the wisdom. It's all God's thoughts, it's all God's words. And if you're in a situation where you feel you're in a corner, what's the best thing to do?
No, it's not. It's to call on the wisdom from the Lord.
It's to get into the word of God and see what God says about it. What's God telling me to do? How am I going to know what he's saying? By reading his word. He'll tell you what to do when you pick your Bible up. The other day, Mark came and I said to him, have you got your Bible? No. I've left it back in Loughborough. So I gave him a Bible to read, and about half an hour later I said, have you read that? And he said, yeah. I said, did God touch you? He said, yeah, straight away. He told me just what I needed to hear. And I thought, you know, it doesn't take a second to pick your Bible up and God will tell you just what you need to hear. If you're listening, if you're hungry and you want to know what to do to get out of this situation, God will tell you what to do. Now, the wise servant, what does he do?
Obey.
Mark. Obedience. He does as he's told. That's one of the principles. What's the principle in the army, Andy? Behave yourself and do as you're told. It's no good doing our own thing. We have to do as God instructs us to do. And then we'll be starting to rule and to reign. So I've heard so many people say, oh, I was so worried. I was so anxious. Well, what good does God say about worry and anxiety? Give it to God. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He says, don't be anxious about anything. You know, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And he said, don't worry, don't be concerned about anything. Now, it's no good presenting your requests to God and giving it to him and then going back and worrying, okay? That's not ruling and reigning. When you've given it to God, you give it. If I give that pen top to Lynn, I don't have it anymore. She's got it. It's not my problem anymore. It doesn't belong to me. I've passed it on and I've said, God, it's over to you. And you say, I cast all my care onto you because you care for me. And the Lord will perfect that which concerns you. He knows what you need and he will supply it according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All he says is, follow my principles. Get your offerings right. Get your tithing right. Put me first and I'll show you. I'll prove to you beyond all doubt that I'm God and I rule and I reign in your life. I just need your permission to let me do it. And these two servants had done exactly what the master said. And they were big time investors. God had invested in them and they knew the value of that investment. And they were prepared to put their back into it and do what the master had told them to do because they wanted to give him something in return for what he had given them. You know, you don't come to church and it goes in one ear and out the other. God's wasting his investment. We've got to put into practice what God is challenging us to do. And the one that he'd given the most talents to had the greater responsibility. It's not all about natural talent, but I thank God for the natural talent that we've got in this place, for those that he has talented. I thank God for Bill's talent on the website. You know, it's terrific reading that. There's so much variety in it. And he's been on it even this week, Andrew said this morning, and made it a bit easier for us all. You know, that is talent that God has given, and he says, I'm going to use this talent for God's kingdom, to further the kingdom of God. And I thank God for doing that. And, there's others in this place who are just so willing to share their talents. And that's what God wants. He wants those who will share the ability that he's given them into the kingdom. Now, I don't know what verse it is, but we're going to the servant who had been given one talent. The master came back. The servant given one talent said, Master, I know that you've got high standards and that you hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent. The master was furious. That is a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew that I was after the best, why did you do the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, and then when I returned, I would have got some interest. He said, take that talent and give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play it safe, who will not go out on a limb, and listen to this, throw him into utter darkness. Now, I didn't really think that story, that parable, was quite so hard when it came to the man with the one talent. But as I've looked through various studied Bibles and gone into different translations, it's quite apparent that God has no time for laziness. He has no time for those who do nothing with the investment that he's placed in their lives. And I think this is a real wake-up call for all of us. Sit up, God is saying, and take notice. Because I've invested the kingdom of God in you. I've invested my life in you. He laid aside his majesty, gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of cruel men. I can't treat that investment that he's put his life in me. The man who buried his talent, he lost what he had because to him it had no value. But the most valuable thing that God could ever give, he has invested in your life. And he's looking in your life, he wants a return on that investment. And if he sees no return, he hates it. To him, it's as bad as wickedness. The two go together. You're no different to a wicked servant who rejects the word of God and does nothing. God says, I want to see something. You know, he says, doesn't he, in Revelation chapter 3, if you're neither hot or cold, what will he do? Spew you out of his mouth. God will not put up with lukewarmness. It's either all or nothing. That's what God wants. And it really is a serious issue, and I don't want to make you feel in any way condemned, but I want to challenge each of us. God has put an investment in all of us. And you can all do something for the kingdom of God. And if we read the word of God, we will begin to develop those characteristics that God wants, is looking for and wants out of our lives. And, you know, it's no good saying, oh, I don't have any abilities. I'm too afraid to do anything. I couldn't possibly stand up and read from the scriptures. I couldn't possibly speak to anybody. I couldn't share my faith with anybody. Well, I tell you, you can. Because if you have a passion and a desire for God, it's the opposite. You have a job stopping me sharing my faith. Because I'm excited at who lives inside me and what he's done for me. And I want to share that with somebody else. And you know, when you say, oh, I can't do this or this will never happen, it's all about self-centeredness. I can't do it. Well, God's not looking for you to do it. He's going to do it through you. But you have to trust him. You have to have faith in what he says. He wants to do great things in your life, but he requires to your availability. He says, to everyone who has, more will be given, and he shall have an abundance. I want that abundance from God. And, you know, there's no middle ground with God. There's no hiding with God. He wants his investment to be realised in each of our lives. And there's a saying that, when I was thinking about this the other day, that used to be on a little picture that we used to sell, and it said the woods would be silent if only the best birds sang. You know, you don't have to be the best at playing the guitar God's looking for a willing heart. You don't have to be the best at speaking. God is looking for a willing heart. You don't have to be the best before you'll do anything. God wants willingness, obedience, commitment, faithfulness, loyalty. You don't have to be a rich man to invest in the kingdom of God. God says, I'm only asking for 10% of what you earn and an offering, and see what I'll do. Look at the widow, the widow's mite. She put the smallest amount of money that anybody could. It was the smallest coin she put in the offering. And Jesus said, she's given more than all these who waved the fancy envelopes and did a prancy dance as they put it in the offering plate. Look at me, I'm a big giver. She gave more. Why? She gave everything. She had nothing. She was trusting God. And God says, test me. I'll see that you're taken care of. How many children did he take care of in the wilderness? 3,000? Was it 2,000? 2 million? Yeah, 2 million of the Hebrew children as they went across to the promised land, and the shoes never wore out. He fed them, he clothed them in the desert where there was nothing. He looked after them, and God will do as much for you, if not more, if you're willing and if you're sold out for God. You know, we don't have too many meetings. We have 2 meetings a week. We have Sunday and Wednesday. And I say that if you're reading this word of God, nothing will keep you away from being in God's house, because you'll have something to share. You'll have something to give. You know, there's so many Christians I see nowadays living for themselves. I don't have to go to church. Then, ouch, wow, why is all this happening to me? Why has this disaster happened? Why have I lost all this money? Are you tithing? Are you going to church? Are you putting God first? We need to get back to some principles that we have lost. I can't tell you how many Christians I know who are not going and not in fellowship anywhere, and their lives are in a mess. And they're wondering why. Well, has God got first place? God wants first place. What Lynn said, that scripture, who got, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Put him first and he'll give you everything that you need and more. He'll give you an abundance. He will fulfill the promises that he's made to you. You know, he says, test me, trust me. We cannot live as islands. We can't live for ourselves. We cannot be self-centered. You know, it's time to look around and see who needs help. See who needs a lifting hand. You know, if you're going out shopping and you're on your own, think about somebody else who maybe hasn't got transport and finds it difficult to get the shopping. Don't just blindly go off to the supermarket and just look after yourself. You know, think about somebody else who might just appreciate a lift and have the use of a car around the supermarket so they can buy some heavy stuff. Just little things, little things, little things. Let's not be self-centred. Let's invest in the kingdom of God. Helping one another, encouraging one another. Does somebody need a lift to church? Does somebody need a word of encouragement? Do I need to listen to God and say, God, what? I want a word for such and such a person. They seem to need some encouragement. What word of encouragement can I give to so-and-so? Lord, I want to help. I want to strengthen those that are my friends, those you love. I want to come. I want to come to church to give. What can I share this Sunday, God? He'll give you something, I promise you. Mark. God's spoken to him 2 or 3 times this weekend. You know? Get your act together, lad. Do as you're told. Be obedient. Stop being rebellious. We can't kick off when somebody says no. You know? We meet them at Teen Challenge on a Friday night. Their lives are in a mess. Why? Because they kick off when you say no. They kick against authority. They hate authority. And I'm not into control, but I know the one who loves me. He gave his life for me. And he says, I demand everything from you. If you want a life, an eternal life, then I need to see some fruit from my investment. And I throw that challenge out to all of us today, myself included. You know, we're out on missions. God's saying, even to us that are out there going on the missions, all right, what are you going to believe me for this year? Do you want to come higher? I want to go higher. All of you, where are you at? Do you want to go higher? Do you want to go to the next level? Well, ask God. You know, he said, I would that you all prophesy. Hey, how many of us are praying, Lord, I want to prophesy. Show me. Show me the next step. I want to grow. I want to develop in the gifts of the Spirit. I want to desire the best gifts. That's what Paul said. Desire the best gifts. I don't want to just come to church and sit in a pew. That's not what you want, God. You want a you want lively stones. You want those that are alive and coming with something in the hands to give to God. It's not about filling a pew. It's not about easing your conscience. It's not about getting your card marked. Well, they've been, so that'll stop somebody getting on my case. It's not what it's about. We come with desire and passion to show God he's made a good investment. I want to let God know that when he invested in me, he made a good investment. And I want to show him that 1 million and odd increase that he's got out of my life. How about you? I think it'd be good if perhaps we could sing that song, Make Me Lord a Dreamer for Your Kingdom. Plant in my heart heavenly desires. God's challenged you today as we sing this song. I want you to reach out to him and say, God, I'm sorry that I've not been as passionate as you required.
Make me, Lord, a dreamer for your kingdom. Plant in my heart heavenly. Possibilities shall be, and visions last a world should bury. Not knowing me, make me, Lord, a dream. Come along with me. fall.